Amen. Beautiful song. Can you start that PowerPoint, please, Mark? So, as you may have gathered by now, we're starting a series on Sunday nights in March called Red Letters. And I'm sorry, Brooke, it's not all the red letters, not all the words that Jesus spoke. We've only got March. That would be kind of a long series. But it's focusing on five parables of Jesus. You can see them down the bottom there. Tonight it's on the lost things. Next week it's on the cancelled debt. And then the week after on the sower. And the week after on building for life. And on the last week in March, it's the wedding banquet. The wedding banquet. And of course the series is called the Red Letters because of the Red Letter Bible, where the words of Jesus are printed in red to highlight that it's Jesus speaking. So that's what we're doing in this series. We're not expounding on the epistles where the Apostle Paul or the other leaders of the early church explained things to the church. We're talking about Jesus, what he actually said, the actual words he used. And you may see underneath the word parables, it says, that's the motto of this series, find yourself in the words of Jesus. And that's what we want you to do over this series. As the word of God comes forth, see if it's talking about you, or see if it's talking to you, and let God's word reveal yourself to you. And as I mentioned, in this first lesson, we're looking at lost things. There's three parables of Jesus that address the subject of lost things, and they're all found in Luke chapter 15. You may want to turn there. They are the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. These parables show three different ways that people become lost, and that the Father is looking for each one of them, that they may be found and returned to him. Now in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 7, you'll find the story, the parable of the lost sheep. Beginning at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, this is an unusual parable in that Jesus explained it immediately. In verse 7. He tells a story about a sheep who's lost, and in verse 7 he tells them what it means. He says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So this is a story about people that were lost and need to return to God. I want you to note two things about the lost sheep. Firstly, the sheep was lost in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Now, North Korea is known outside the borders of North Korea as being a people in a state of starvation and hard life and a terrible economy. And who want to live in North Korea? Nobody. Yet the citizens of North Korea, the vast majority of them anyway, don't think that. They think that they've got it pretty good, and that the rest of the world has it much worse than they do. Why is that? Because they don't have any other information. They are only told so much, and therefore they believe that they have it much better than we do. And that's how it is for people in the world. I think they think, you know, well, it's pretty bad and I'm struggling just to survive, but it could be worse. But if only they had more information. If only they knew what life could really be like. If only they knew what God had for them and that how life could be. If they heard the truth, then they'd know where they really are. And where are they? In the wilderness. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's green pastures, still water, and a shepherd. But because of their lack of information, because of their lack of understanding, they don't understand that they're in the wilderness. The second thing I want you to notice about the sheep is that it wandered off. The sheep did not make a conscious decision to leave or to go into the wilderness, to be lost. The sheep was just going about its everyday business, probably not paying much attention to its surroundings, just doing what sheep do. And then one day it lifted its head up and there it was in the wilderness. And another thing about this sheep, there's no way that sheep could find its own way home. It was lost in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but that's how I came to be here in this place. I wasn't paying much attention to my surroundings. I was just getting on with my life until one day I looked around and realized I was in the wilderness and I was lost and I had no idea how to get out to a better place. But I was so thankful that I found a shepherd, Jesus, the great shepherd who led me, who came looking for me. That's the thing about our God. He will not leave you lost in the wilderness. He will come looking for you. He will never leave us there. And if we find ourselves in the wilderness, we can be sure and certain that our shepherd will show us the way home, home to where we should be with him. And then what will happen? Heaven will rejoice. That's amazing. We have the power to make rejoicing, make joy in heaven. I would have thought that this, like, heaven is already full of joy. And yet if one sinner repents, there's more joy in heaven. That's amazing. That's amazing. We don't have to feel abandonment, confusion, fear. We can have safety, certainty, and peace if we allow the shepherd to lead us home out of the wilderness. The second lost thing was, of course, the lost coin. And that's Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, Jesus explained the parable again. That there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Well, I wanted to know two things about you to know two things about the lost coin. Firstly, the coin was lost in the house. The coin hadn't left somewhere else. It wasn't dropped in the street. It hadn't wandered off like the sheep was. That means it could represent something or someone lost in your house, or it could mean someone or something lost, someone lost in this house. People of my era used to listen to Keith Green. People of my era still do they? I actually had the Keith Green double, was it double cassette? It probably was, wasn't it? No, it was not an 8-track. It may have been a double cassette, and it's pretty heavy going to listen to a double album of Keith Green. But he said on that, I remember him saying on this album his, he said, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger." And that's the truth. Going to church don't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. And it's a good thing to be in God's house. It's the best place of all to be, but don't let it stop it turning up on Sundays. Jesus said, well, God will love those who keep his commandments. So the lost coin was lost in the house. And I've heard it said that we are saved by faith. Have you heard that? We are saved by faith. No, the Bible says we are saved by grace, through faith. Faith is the vehicle or the means by which we access the grace of God. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, we cannot access the free gift of salvation that God has offered every person. But what does it mean to have faith? It means to believe God and to act on it. It doesn't just to say, yes, what God's word is true. It's to say, I believe it, and therefore I'm going to act in accordance with his word. Jesus said that unless you repent, you'll perish. Just saying that's true doesn't mean that you believe it. If you really believed it, you'd repent. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Just saying you believe that doesn't mean anything if you're not baptized in Jesus' name. If you really believed it, you would be baptized in Jesus' name. That's why the book of James says, let me show you my faith by what I do. Let me show you that I really believe God by what I do. In our home friendship group lesson, Brother Jason mentioned home friendship groups. If you're not in a home friendship group, I recommend that you go into one. But in a lesson a few years ago, we talked about grace and faith. And we talked about the example of the manager of the local JB Hi-Fi store offering you one free item of your choice from his store. Firstly, you'd have to believe him. Most, if you're like me, you'd probably think it was a scam if you were offered something for free. But also, not only would you have to believe him, you would actually have to show that you believe him by going to the store and picking out the item. You did not pay for the item. You didn't pay for the item by acting on your belief. You didn't pay for the item by traveling to the store. Traveling to the store isn't working for the item. Traveling on the store is showing you believe in the grace of the free gift that's being offered to you. In the same way, God has offered us the gift of eternal life, and we access that gift through repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. God is saying, I have a gift for you, and this is how you get it. By doing these things, we're showing that we really do believe him and that we really do have faith in his word. But the coin was lost in the house. So how was the coin lost? The sheep had wandered off, but how was the coin lost in the house? The coin was lost in the house because it had been mishandled. It wasn't the coin's fault that it was lost. Somebody had handled it incorrectly. Somebody had been careless with the coin. Somebody had dropped it, or they put it somewhere they shouldn't have. In any case, they did not take proper care of this valuable item, and now it's lost. And it's not the fault of the coin. We can say that's how it relates to so many of us. We become damaged goods because somebody mishandled us. Somebody didn't take care of us as they should, and it's not our fault that we are as we are. You only remember like a handful of sermons out of all the hundreds that you hear. You only remember a handful. And I remember one from, I think it was Sydney Conference, Brother Reinhard, who preached about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Does anyone know who Mephibosheth was? He's the son of Jonathan. Now, Saul was the king of Israel, and Jonathan was his son, and Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. And so because Saul was the king of Israel, Jonathan would inherit the throne. And what happened was Saul and Jonathan were both killed in a battle. And whenever the king dies, there's always a power struggle over the throne. And of course, who's in line for the throne but his descendants? So usually people trying to usurp the throne or take the power then want to get rid of all the descendants of the king, and that's exactly what happened. They went and they killed all of Saul and Jonathan's descendants except Mephibosheth. And the reason that he was saved was because his nurse picked him up and ran out of the house to hide him, but she dropped him. And when she dropped him, he became crippled. And he was never again able to walk. And this sermon was about how you're a cripple, but it's not your fault. But it wasn't their fault because they were just trying to help you and they dropped you when they did it. And that's how, I don't know, it seems to me that there's a lot of people that I know that are like they are because somebody dropped them. Whether they were did it on purpose or whether they're being careless or whether they're trying to do the right thing and it was an accident is beside the point. They are damaged or they're lost. They're in the wrong place because somebody mishandled them. But ultimately, can we really say we're like the coin? Can we really say it's not my fault? I have no part in it at all? Regardless of what anyone else does or says, God calls upon us to look at ourselves. If something goes wrong or someone upsets us, then what kind of person are you going to be, God says, in that circumstance? How are you going to respond to that? How are you going to react to that? If we are lost in the house, can we really say we're like the coin and had no part in it? Or was our reaction to someone mishandling us at least partly to blame? Another thing about the coin has value, but a coin is not only worth something if you use it. You can have a coin in, I don't even have a coin in my pocket. Don't you feel sorry for me? I don't either. A coin is just a symbolic of something. Same as a banknote. Oh, thanks. What's that worth? But all it is a piece of alloy that's worth, that's actual value is not even, you can't even measure it, it's not even a cent. But it's worth 50 cents because it's got the authority, the image and the superscription thereof, as Jesus said, which gives the authority of the government to say it's worth a proportion of the economy of Australia. That's how a dollar gets its value. It's not based upon metal, gold anymore. It's based upon the size of your economy. And that's why if you print more money, all you're doing is reducing the value of your money. But anyway, that's another lesson. That's for economics. When is that worth 50 cents? When I get something in return for it. If I'm holding on to it, I have the potential of 50 cents, but until I actually give it to you and get goods in return, it's not worth anything. Does that make sense? Potential, yes, but value when you use it, when it's put in circulation. Thank you, Pastor. I did think about keeping it, but I don't know what I could buy for 50 cents. I was a bit of a cheeky kid. We used to go to the fish shop, you know, local shop, and say, how much are your 1 cent lollies? But you can't say that anymore, can you? And we used to get, the deer lollies were the Redskins, you know, and they were 2 for a cent, I think. 2 for a cent. Anyway. So a coin only has value if you put it into circulation and use it. So the fact that the coin was lost in the house, she knew it was in the house, so it didn't mean any loss to her unless it was going to be used. And that's why God doesn't want us to be lost, because he wants to use us. He wants to put us into circulation. He has a purpose for us. We're not just called to sit in the church. We're called to be about his business. Now, we all have different jobs in the church. We discussed this at home group, and someone said, I think some people really, they're just going to call to be followers. Well, that's a calling, to be a follower. We can't all be leaders. I remember reading about a person who applied for Harvard, I think, and one of the questions in the application is, are you a leader? And the person had to sorrowfully write, acknowledged that they were not a leader, and they sent off the application knowing they had no chance to get accepted into Harvard because they were not a leader. And to their surprise, they got an acceptance letter which said, we have 30,000 new leaders starting this term. We want at least one follower to lead, to be able to follow them. Maybe God has you here just for you to talk to one person this year. Maybe God has you here to pray for the pastor. That's an important task. We don't want to belittle or to make light of these important things that each one of us can do. And if we're not in circulation, if we're lost in the house, we're not, God is not getting the value that we hold in our potential. We don't want to be lost in the house. We want to be in circulation. Remember what Jesus said about the guy who buried the talent? When they traded with the talents, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When they buried the talent, when the coin was lost, he was not happy. So if the coin is lost, let's find the coin. Let's use it. Let's put it into circulation. So the third lost thing was the lost son, which is, I'm going to read a big bit of scripture here, Luke 15:11-24. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Is there any portion of scripture that has been preached on more than this in the history of the church? I don't think so. Because it's a fantastic understanding of our Heavenly Father. Because an earthly father whose son had taken his possession and wasted it all on riotous or prodigal living, and then come crawling home when he was down to nothing, would he accept him back with love and kisses and give him a robe and a ring and a sandal? But our Father is not like earthly fathers. The first thing to note about the lost son was that he was lost in the world. Unlike the sheep, the prodigal son did not just wander off. Unlike the coin, he wasn't lost without having any part in it. The prodigal son was seduced away by the promises of the world. Like everybody always does, he found the promises of the world to be empty. And ultimately, all he ended up with was ashes and dust. But when the prodigal son had spent all that he had, and he began to be in want, in other words, began to starve, you would have thought he would go home to his father, but he didn't. And I wondered, why didn't the prodigal son go home then? If he had lost everything and was now reduced to a job that was so debasing for a Hebrew, pigs are unclean to a Hebrew. And here he was employed to feed pigs. He couldn't have sunk any lower as a Hebrew. And yet, he didn't go home. Why is that? I wondered if he had too much pride. Maybe his father would say to him, "I told you so." Maybe his older brother would laugh at him and call him a failure. Say, "You had all these big dreams, now look at you, you've lost everything, you're hopeless." Maybe he was frightened of the reception he'd receive. It's one thing to always have a home to go to. It's another to go there and find you don't. Maybe that was an underlying fear of the prodigal son, that little anchor he had of his home didn't really exist anymore. But whatever the reason, he, instead of coming home when he hit hard times, he ended up with this terrible job feeding the pigs. And I've seen sometimes people have chosen to leave the father's house. And I've seen them fall on hard times even. But instead of coming back home, they hang out in the pig pens of the world, existing on things that they previously would not have thought of doing ever because it was beneath them and debased them. And these things will never satisfy them. But why won't they come home? Are they worried about what we will think of them or say about them? Are they concerned whether they'd even be welcome? You know, the church should be the place where people are not afraid to come back to. The father did not go into the world to look for the prodigal son, but he stood and looked for him every day, waiting for him to return. He was watching for his return. The sheep wandered off. He didn't do it. It wasn't a deliberate action, so the shepherd went and found him. The coin was lost in the house because it was mishandled, and so they swept and swept until it was found. But the prodigal son chose to leave, and the father didn't go after him. He allowed him to leave, but he watched for his return every day. Ultimately, circumstances caused the prodigal son to show us what it truly means to repent. He woke up. He came to himself. He realized his real state. And he said, look how I've ended up living. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to return to my father and do what he says. I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of my father because look at the state I found myself. I never imagined I'd be here. So the son returns home to the father. But he'd become so familiar with the ways of the world, he didn't expect to be welcomed. He had his speech all prepared. He said, he didn't come back expecting to be put back into the family. He didn't come back saying, oh, father of your son, I've lost all, I'm sorry. His prepared speech was, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, make me a servant. He didn't expect to be welcomed. But he was so desperate because of the state he found himself in, he went back home expecting not to be welcomed. As I said, the son had made a conscious decision to leave. It was a son's choice to go and live a life in the pleasures of sin, and yet the father accepted him back with rejoicing and showered him with gifts. And it's still the same way today. Anyone who has chosen the world, if they wake up to themselves and come home to the father, he will accept them with joy and with gifts. He was a long way off, the scripture says. While he was still a long way away, he hadn't even made it back. As soon as he was going in the right direction, then the father went out to him and hugged him and kissed him, and he didn't even get the chance to give his repentance speech. Before anything else happened, he was welcomed. And then he gave his speech. The father didn't stop and say, well, what do you got to say for yourself? And he gave his speech and he considered it and thought about it and said, it's all right, I've decided. No. He ran out to him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And then the repentance speech came. But the father, he wasn't interested in the repentance speech because he was just so joyful that his son had returned. And he gave his son three things. A robe. Can you imagine what he looked like if he was destitute in the world and had ended up in a pig pen feeding pigs? He would have been covered with stains and smell and dirt. You could tell what he'd been doing. There was no mistaking how he'd been living, was there? You knew exactly who he was and what he'd been doing. But his father took off those clothes that had been stained from the world and gave him new clothes. And he could no longer tell where he'd been. You know, could no longer tell what he'd been doing, how he'd fallen, because now he looked the same as he did before he left. He was dressed in the clothes of the father's house. And the sinful stained garments no longer defined him. Now he was clean again. The father also gave him a ring. This showed that he was a son, not a servant, because a ring is a sign of authority. It's the sign of being in the family. The boy was not a servant, he was a son. He had the authority, he once again had the authority of the father behind him. When he was in the house before he left, he was due an inheritance. He had a place of honor. And now that's restored to him with the ring on his hand to show that he was once again in a place of authority. And the third thing he was given was sandals. You know, apparently servants didn't have shoes. They went bare feet, barefoot. The only one who had shoes was the family. And now the son, you couldn't tell that he'd ever been away. If you saw his heart, I'm sure you could. If you knew his thoughts, I'm sure you could. But to everyone else, he was completely restored. He looked exactly the same as before he left. Everything that had happened had been forgotten and replaced and renewed. And here he was, as if he'd never gone. Except now came the next part. The rejoicing. The son's restoration was complete. He was once again part of the family in the father's house where he belonged. So we see that there was three ways that these things were lost in three different places. They were lost in the wilderness, they were lost in the house, and they were lost in the world. We even see that they were lost for different reasons. The sheep wandered off, the coin was mishandled, the son decided to leave. But no matter where they were lost or the reason they were lost, they were wanted. They were valued. They were looked for. These three parables show us the heartbeat of God to find lost souls and reconcile them unto him. In the case of the lost sheep, the shepherd went and brought it out of the wilderness. In the case of the lost coin, the woman searched and searched until she found it. In the case of the lost son, the father looked every day for him to come home. These three things may have been lost in different places and for different reasons, but the end result was the same. Once they were back where they belonged in the rightful place, there was rejoicing. There was rejoicing. You know, it's our pastor's vision for this church that we will reach out to the world with the only answer that there is, Jesus Christ. We all need to be a part of that and have that attitude because these parables show us how valuable people that are lost are to God. How important they are to him. How it's his heartbeat to reconcile people unto them and unto him and be restored completely as they were. But if you are in this house today and you feel that you are separated from the Father, if you feel that you are lost, then these parables show you how valuable you are to God. How he wants you in his hand. How he wants to put you to use. He has a purpose for you and he wants you to be part of his family, dressed in the best robe, with a ring on your hand and sandals on your feet, with the joy of the Lord in the celebration. Let's stand. When Jesus told us these parables, he was describing the condition of men, the conditions of their hearts and the conditions of our hearts. He gave us a wonderful confidence about how precious we are in the sight of God. That no matter whether we've wandered off because we were not paying attention, didn't have enough information or weren't looking where we were going, or whether someone dropped us or mishandled us or caused damage to us that wasn't our fault, or whether we even made a conscious decision to leave, he told us that though we may be lost, he wants us found once again. He wants us to be restored to him. And then there's going to be rejoicing in heaven and on earth in his church. So if you feel that you're a bit lost tonight, separated from God, why don't you accept that he's looking for you and wants you and seek to come close unto him once again. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.